All right, hello and welcome everybody to your automotive technician podcast called Grease the Wheels. This is your Uncle Jimmy here at the Rock and Roll Garage. Hey, before I get started, I want to just say thank you to everybody out there who's keeping the world moving, keeping it dynamic, making everybody get where they're going. Hey, I wanted to say a special thank you out there to everybody who does what we do, who does what I do, who does what they do. I greatly appreciate it. And what I wanted to do is kind of just take a couple of minutes here to give you a little inside look at why what you do is important. I want you to think for a minute, instead of thinking about yourself or even us as technicians, as automotive technicians, or really as technicians of any type. I almost said k-type. But that's just because it's getting late. Hey, no, seriously, what I wanted you to do is I want you to think about what it is you do, why you do it, and then I want you to kind of flip the chart over and see how it affects the people that we do it for. I had a situation where somebody I know needs wheels. They don't have any. They wrecked theirs. And I can't even really begin to tell you how much this upset that person. And I don't want to call anybody out here. It's really not what we do here on the podcast anyway. But when you have empathy, and this is something that we as technicians really kind of need. I think a lot of us have it. Some of us have some, and there's a few of us out there who don't have any at all and are like, hey, fuck the world, right? But what we have to understand is that we are providing very important and very valuable service, because the automobile and personal transportation devices like the automobile, maybe motorcycles, scooters, whatever, these provide a very important service to the people who have them. And when they can't provide those services, it feels like the end of the fucking world. It really does. It's very upsetting. And I don't think that that's something that as a technician or as somebody who fixes shit or has readily available assets, not to be, static for any reason whatsoever. I don't think that we really can sympathize or empathize with people who are suddenly no longer mobile. And like I said, this planet is spinning all the fucking time. I was reminded of that this week in an eclipse that shot through the United States of America at, well, what seemingly breakneck speed, and turned some areas of the country totally dark. It turned my area of the country just a little darker is all, not real super dark, or was on the periphery. Maybe where you were became completely dark, and maybe where you were didn't get any of that eclipse nonsense going on there. What you have to understand is planet's moving and people got to move with it. And when they can't move with it, it gives them a feeling of being completely left out and ineffective and just useless, really. And it's a terrible feeling. And so I want to say thank you to you guys for keeping people from having to feel like that, because we don't think about the emotions involved with what we do at all, ever, until we are confronted with it. And I think if we were to understand, and really, it's kind of a shock to me, honestly, sometimes, when I'm confronted with people whose transportation is malfunctioning. So when what you have is that when people's lives are disrupted so massively by the failure of their personal transportation devices, it really affects them in a complete manner. I mean, it really just ruins them completely. And this is why, and in the past, we never had these, okay? I can tell you, I've been around long enough to remember a time when there was no such fucking thing as a loaner car. And now, you almost cannot have an auto repair shop without loaner cars, especially if you're a new car dealership. And a lot of times, what they'll do is they will inform a potential customer that's going to buy a new vehicle that if their vehicle has to come into the shop, that they're entitled to have a loaner car service. And so, and the loaner car service, let me just tell you something real quick, but I don't know if a lot of you deal with this. I suspect that you do, and it's kind of fucked up. And I can laugh about it because they're not my fucking cars. But our loaner cars, we have a pretty substantial fleet. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 75 loaner cars. Of course, they're never all at the dealership at the same time. So it's tough to gauge how many you have. But our customers seem to wad these things up in a fucking at a pretty horrific rate. I mean, it seems like we have between 5 and 10 cars that are down for some reason or another. And sometimes those reasons are extremely heinous. But the loaner cars is especially important for those people who really either can't or just absolutely do not want to be inconvenienced, okay? And then that's what it comes down to. And for us as technicians, it's tough to look at a situation from somebody else's point of view and see how absolutely disruptive the lack of personal transportation or the damage or perhaps the inability of their own specific personal transportation device is to their existence, is to what they do, to where they live and how they work and everything. And we're not paying any attention to that, I don't think. And I got to tell you, though, okay, we have an excuse, at least I do personally, because I always have one or two modes of transportation. So if I've got, you know, if I've got one car and it runs fine, and I'm going to have a backup. Just, I don't know, it's a, you know, maybe it's just something I do. I don't know if some of you do that. I'm never really in a position where I'm going to be so handcuffed by the lack of transportation that I'm going to want to shrivel up and die. But that's something that our customers go through on a semi-regular basis if they have older stuff and if that older stuff is fucking up, you know? And that's how much they need us. And you know what it comes down to is, and I've talked about it a little bit before, and I want to get off this subject real quick because I found some stupid shit and I want to share it with you. I mean, seriously, some stupid shit. But let me just finish, really just wrap this up. I don't think that we as auto mechanics and even the other fucking people who we work with, service advisors and even management and shop owners and whatnot, I don't think that they realize how important what we do is, all of us together. Okay. One of the things that drives me wild, and there's nobody I can say anything to. Okay. Here's one of the other problems of being an auto mechanic is that your opinion is really just, it's just dog shit, really. I mean, you know, scoop it up and throw it in a garbage can. It's worthless, you know. But in our particular situation, in the situation I'm in, they have big TV screens that live in our drive-on where people pull in to hand over their car to us so that we can work on them. And in the drive-on, they have these big TV screens, and on those TV screens, they're showing them the salespeople. Okay, well, I'm not totally against that. I mean, our salespeople are pretty good. I'll I know that a lot of us have a very adversarial relationship with the sales department because they come back and think their shit doesn't stink and they want this done right now and they need that done right this minute. And can you look at this? Cause the guy's here to pick it up and all that shit. But I don't feel that way. I feel like we're part of a team. It's a part of the team that I think that AI is going to make go away someday. And I kind of can't wait for that day, but they're here now and they're trying to do the job. And for the most part, they're pretty cordial to the technicians. They understand that when they get in a pinch and they come back into the shop, and if they treated us like shit, guess what? Fucking tit for tat, motherfucker. We're going to treat you like shit. And if you need something done right away, go fuck yourself, okay? And I don't mind because they don't pull that shit on us very much or very often. And I think they've learned. But in our drive-on, people are coming in with cars that are they're broken. They're not working. Or they need maintenance. Whatever. They need a mechanic. To look up on a TV screen and see that we have three senior salespeople, and then we have a whole nother team of this is just killer. We have a whole nother team of salespeople who are EV specialists and couldn't even begin to tell you how to disconnect the interlock for a high voltage battery. And they're EV specialists. They have no idea about any of that shit. And in fact, at times, they'll come back in the shop and they'll see us working on an electric vehicle and they'll go, oh, does this do this? And we'll go, no, these cars don't do that at all. And sometimes they have to be straightened out and re-educated and Sometimes I think they need to be sent to a Soviet-style re-education center. To me, in my way of thinking, and obviously as a technician, I think like you, I think like me, I think like us, all of us, we. I think if you pull in a drive-on, what they should show you, in my opinion, is all of the master technicians that you have in a shop. And show our customers the pictures of us. Hey, these are the guys you're going to be working on your car today. And now, obviously, you know, some of us are not pretty. So, this guy behind the microphone is probably the least pretty of all the technicians. And honestly, I'll tell you the God's honest truth, okay? Because I'm very secure in my own sexuality. Some of the guys that work for us, they're handsome dudes, okay? So why wouldn't you show them to the customers? They're going to be like, hey, I'm pulling in and here's, you know, we have like 11 master techs. And why not show them in the drive-on and say, hey, you know, we have this many technicians and we have this many masters. And so the odds are pretty good that you're going to get your car worked on by a master. And if your car gets worked on by somebody who's not a master, they're in the bay next to a master. And so you're in really, really good hands. And this helps to increase, honestly, I mean, exponentially. I mean, I can't even calculate it. How much the value of what you're about to receive is. I mean, you look up, you go, holy cow, look at all these master techs. These people are really serious about what they do to my car. These, and if they only knew, but. So what I'm trying to say in my own way is, look at, you know, we're a very valuable part of what goes on in our shop, but we're kept in the fucking back. And that's going to be the name of this particular episode is Get Back. Get back to where you once belong, you know, keeping with the Beatles theme, of course. But hey, seriously, what we do is very important, and you don't get to see how important it is. At sometimes not at all, and sometimes you get a rare glimpse of how important it is. And so me taking a good 15 minutes of the podcast to remind you honestly and sincerely that what you do is important and that I honestly and sincerely want to say thank you. Keeping the planet moving, keeping people on the go is not just good for society. It's not good for America. It's not good for the planet. It's good for everybody everywhere at any time who has something that's failing. And that's where you guys come in. That's where we come in. And why we're not celebrated more than we are, I don't know. It kind of drives me crazy. Now, I'm not personally looking for any accolades. Okay, but I am looking for them for you guys. So let's get back to work. Get back, JoJo. Seriously, what I did want to talk about, though, was, and I got to be honest with you, let me just shoot straight from the fucking heart here. I struggle mightily at times to bring you content on this podcast. All right, I've beaten a subject to death, and then I flipped it over, beat it to death again. And right now I've got a cadaver of a subject and I got a Ouija board out trying to get some information out of it. So what I did was, and I got to say, you know, this is what I do most of the time is I just go on the internet and I just typed in latest trends in automotive repair. And I didn't really expect to make a podcast that would be humorous, but that's the way it ended up. That's the way it ended up. I found a site and I want to share it with you because It is literally the pinnacle of stupid. It is stupid. This one is called Outlook Auto Tech. I don't know where the fuck this is from. There's nobody credited with this. Okay. It says something about editor's pick. And this is what it says. 7 major auto repair industry trends. Now, I'm reading this going, hey, that's cool. I'd love to know what the major auto repair industry trends are right now. And so I started to read this, and I couldn't believe how fucking stupid it was. It was stupid. And I want to broad stroke it for you. I don't want to just read it for you, but there is some crazy, crazy, stupid shit in here. A lot of this stuff, and I know that it drives Eric wild. It drives me wild too, but it drives us both wild in a different way. I can't stand it when, and if you're of any age at all, say, you know, you're in your 30s or your 40s, you got to be familiar with the fact that a lot of people who write stuff for content on the internet haven't got a single fucking clue how spell check works, how grammar is supposed to work. and how to finish a sentence instead of having a paragraph that has one, maybe two whole entire fucking sentences without a period or any punctuation whatsoever. I mean, it's bad, okay? Now, and the only reason I like to point this out, and this is kind of dumb here, but bear with me, okay? Because fucking A, after all, it's my podcast, goddamn it. We as technicians are really, I got to say, honestly, we're forced to keep up. We're forced because, and I've been doing it for a while, and I have a lot of people I know who have been doing it for a while, and we sit around sometimes and we reminisce about, oh, how we used to have to fix this and how we did a whole bunch of that, and we haven't done that in 5 fucking years, or 10 years ago we were doing this to the cars, and now we're, you know, we haven't seen that repair in like ages. We have to keep up, and it's important that we keep up because every year, every fucking year, right? I mean, it's like a clock almost. It doesn't sync up with anything, honestly, anymore at all. It used to be in September, late September, sometimes early September, sometimes October. The model year would change, and boom, 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 you got a new model car, and it was dated for the year, the next year. You know, like September, October this year, we would be getting 2025 model cars. Okay. The problem is those rules are all fucking gone, just like all good rules. And what you find now is that it could be, you know, January, February, 2024, and you're already getting the 25 model year cars. That drives me nuts. It drives me nuts because you can't say, oh, you know, I drive a brand new 2025 and it's like towards the end of 2025 and you've had the car almost 2 fucking years. It doesn't work for me. I personally just need for this shit to start at a certain time and end at a certain time and stop fucking overlapping the fucking model year before or the model year after. I mean, try to go out and find a certain model year of certain cars and you'll find that they only made those cars for about 3 fucking months, and then they fucking stopped, changed something, and called it the next model year, even though it was like fucking February. And so it's difficult for me to wrap my mind around it sometimes. I don't understand why they do it. I mean, if they have to change something, just fucking change it. Just get it done. But you don't have to really rebrand the car to the next model year when it's not the next model year yet, goddammit. Anyway, enough about that shit. That's just me being picky and being an undiagnosed OCD sufferer. This particular article, though, went forward and it was just crazy dumb shit here. And I wanted to just bring you, let me give you an idea of how this works. Because I start to read something and to me, it's just nonsense right from the beginning. And then I can't give it any value whatsoever. I can't legitimize this information at all because it doesn't make any sense right from the go. And this is not because our industry is full of idiots. It's not, we're not idiots. We have to keep up and it's difficult for us sometimes. Nobody else in our business has to keep up like we do. I mean, sure, the guys who are selling them should know how the new options work, but we're the ones who have to figure out why they're not fucking working. And sometimes, folks, we're trying to figure out why something doesn't work when it never fucking worked. This has happened to me recently. And this is where we have problems with service advisors. And I don't want to go off on them on this particular podcast. I don't want to do that. I don't want to jump up and down and say, oh, you know, all service advisors are fucking stupid. I don't want to make such a general statement that's probably true, but they don't invest enough time in speaking with the customers and understanding what the problems are. They just write down what the customer says. And a lot of times, you know, even though we need them, we want them, and we empathize with them, they're fucking wrong or dumb, or the shit they want just isn't right. It isn't correct. You know, I had a case this week, or was it last week? It doesn't really matter. It was last week, but a lady brought her car in and she complained that her car did not do something. And the way the concern was written, I assumed, and this was my fault, that I assumed anything, okay, because I can't assume anything and I should never assume anything. I assumed that she had this feature on this particular vehicle and that it stopped working. And after digging into it and trying to figure out why that feature didn't work for an hour and a half, We finally came to the conclusion that this person never fucking had that function. That it was something her car did not ever do and was not ever going to do. It was not an option that she had on her vehicle. Why she complained that it didn't work is beyond me. Why the service advisor didn't ask her when it stopped working or if it ever worked ever. Because then he could have fucking kept me from losing an hour and a half of my life and of pay, by the way, of billable hours. Why he couldn't do that, I don't know. Okay? And this is a service advisor who will tell you that he's good at what he does. And I have to say, nay, you're not good at what you do. That concern should never have been written. You know, it was an option where the vehicle will lock when you walk away from it with the key in your pocket. Now, some of our cars do that, but that started like maybe a year and a half ago. Now that I know that, maybe two model years ago, but her car was older than that. And guess what? There was never an option on her car. Never. So it wasn't like, oh, it used to do it. Now it doesn't do it. Oh, no. It never fucking did it. And she wants to know why it never did it. And I could just say it's not an option. It was available at the time. Just like a Model T doesn't have self-starting. You know, it doesn't have, it's just like a Model T doesn't have a lot of fucking options, by the way. But to sit there and complain about it and then you just write it down like, oh, it used to do it. It's like, no, it never fucking did it. This is one of the problems that I have. This is one of the problems I think a lot of us have. It's like, look, you got to ask the right questions. Holy shit. All right. That's my diatribe for the week and it's over. I'm sorry. This happens to me an awful lot, is that people who don't do their job properly cause me a lot of fucking problems. And you can't hit them because it doesn't work. It doesn't fix anything. I mean, if you want, you can hit them, but you're going to have to do your job somewhere else because somebody's going to come down and say, oh, you can't hit them and you're fired. As far as these journalists who come up with some of the content that I read on the internet, these people should be hit and hit hard with something big and heavy, because they're just not making any sense. And let me just give you an idea of what I'm talking about here, okay? And I apologize. I must apologize to Eric, the producer, now, because he hates when I do this, and it's not cool. And but I do want to do this just this one time, okay? Here is an article. It was by Outlook Auto Tech, okay? And I don't know what these people do. There's some sort of aftermarket automotive information portal, some app. Apparently, they know what's going on. I was not able to confirm that by reading what they wrote here. Number one, seven major auto repair industry trends. Number one, extending priority for keeping dealerships manage repairs. There's nothing in there there's nothing in that particular statement that makes any sense. Extending priority for keeping dealerships manage repairs. It's just nonsense. It's nonsense. And then the first sentence goes on to provide even more nonsense. Now, who is proofreading this? Who writes this and then hands it to somebody and they read it and they go, oh, this is good. This is good stuff. We'll print this. We'll put this on the internet. No, this is horse shit. Say that to yourself. Extending priority. First off, you don't start a sentence out like that. You might say needing to extend priority or helping to extend priority or having to extend priority. But no, it's just extending priority. What priority? A priority for keeping dealerships manage repairs. There's some words missing there. I don't know what they are. I can't make any sense out of that, okay? But here's the first sentence underneath that. It says, in recent years, which is just a general statement that means nothing. In recent years, I mean, the fucking planet's 4-5 billion years old. How recent years you want, okay? In recent years, automobile owners have proved a rising choice for their management and repair services at automobile authorization. What? I'm sorry, folks. I just can't ignore this. That is a sentence that has a bunch of words that don't belong together in a sentence, and it makes no statement. It says nothing at all to anybody who even gives a fuck. This doesn't make any sense. Owners have proved a rising choice. A rising choice. Owners have proved a rising choice for their management and repair services. I'm sorry. It makes no sense to me. Okay. So then I go on. It says here, these are seven major auto repair industry trends. I'll broad stroke it from here. Eric's probably in the bathroom throwing up blood. Number two, digitization increasing automation and electrification. Okay, that statement makes no sense either. That's number two on the list. Digitization, digitizing. What are we going to digitize? We make everything. Everything's digital already, really. I mean, you know, we have computers. Everything gets printed as digitized, and then increasing automation. We don't have any robots in our building that are doing something over and over again automatically. We all work, and you guys know this. We all work in a very random and sometimes a nonchalant even a backwards ass kind of a way. So there's no automation whatsoever in anything that we do. And okay, to finish this whole statement off, and electrification. I've never even heard that word used like that before. Electrification. It just sounds like they went to a town that didn't have any electricity in it at all, and they provided electrification. Look, if you feel like I do that electric cars are really just kind of a fucking, smoke and mirrors kind of a thing that's supposed to solve a problem we aren't really having, electrification might be the term that you would use in a very stupid manner to describe that. But as we have seen, and a lot of trends have borne this out. That's the correct use of that word, by the way. Electric vehicles are not an answer, and not everybody's buying into them. And the people who bought into them are all of the people who own them now. And that's it. If you own an electric vehicle, you were one of these people who wanted an electric vehicle, and you got one. And now there's no really no shit. There's nobody else out there who wants one. I mean, yeah, sure. We still sell them all the time. Yeah, they're out there. And sometimes they're too expensive. And then people decide they want one anyway. And they figure out a way to buy it, even though it's expensive. And they get their hands on it. And I think personally, myself, whenever I see a Tesla, which is, I know it's very specific, but whenever I see a Tesla, I think to myself, and we used to think this about other people who drove other kinds of cars. Thank you very much, Corvette owners. But when I see somebody who drives a Tesla, I think of somebody who thinks that they're on the cutting edge. You know, they're a first adopter, hip and upwardly mobile, and they're in charge of what they do in their life, and they're trying to save the planet, and they're trying to be good to the human race and to every other race on the planet, you know, every other species on the planet by driving a Tesla. And they feel and what we used to say all the time was people who drive Teslas are the number one source of smug pollution, which is, you know, I mean, they're smug about it, really. It's almost an attitude that they carry about them that really needs to be slapped right the fuck out of them. It's just not. You're not fixing anything, and you're not really proving to the world anything. And the worst is, okay, where I am, I've seen a few of these cyber trucks, and they just look god awful. And I think it's really wrong to call them cyber trucks. What they should do is they should call them, I don't know, I'll come up with something at some point, but they're just so odd looking, and they don't represent anything that even remotely resembles a truck whatsoever. To me, they represent something that looks more like something that Orson Welles had in mind when he wrote the screenplay for The War of the Worlds. I mean, it looks like something that an alien would get out of them and just start zorching the brains of all the people who said, hey, look at that. So, I mean, it's ridiculous looking. It is. That's the best way to describe it. I've seen a couple, two, three of them now, and I'm not buying it. It's not the future. Hopefully it's not what the future looks like, and it doesn't send a styling trend at all. And because it's not a truck. You can't throw a fucking sheet of plywood in the back of the fucking thing. Yes, it's electric. And it is definitely different looking, and is definitely futuristic looking, but it just doesn't look good at all. Sorry, Elon. I'm just not a fan. Let's give it another shot. You know, let's make something that looks a little bit more like a Rivian. That actually is a truck, and that you could throw a couple kegs of beer in the back and some ice and some picnic tables and maybe some of those collapsible tables if you're going to, you know, go tailgating at a football game or something like that, okay? But don't bring us a Cybertruck that isn't really actually a truck, okay? Because now you're just muddying the waters. Number three here in the sorry, I don't mean to rip anybody who drives an electric vehicle. For you, it might be a fabulous alternative to driving something that's internally combusted. But in the back of your mind, you know that that's really not true, because a gasoline-powered car is going to do everything that your electric car is doing for you, okay? And if you feel like that the internally combustion engine car is making pollution and you want to not make pollution, well, then you should get yourself a bicycle or some really good fucking shoes, because when you get an electric vehicle, you're still creating pollution. It's just not in your neighborhood anymore. It's somewhere else. And oh, by the way, it may even be more severe. It may even be more detrimental to the environment of the planet. All right. Listen, I don't want to go off on electric cars anymore. I've already done that bit. I've hammered them quite a bit. I just want to say real quick before I move on here, I'm not a fan. I fix them. I can work on them. Some people love them and they don't use gasoline. In some cases, some of them are completely electric and they don't use gasoline. So is that a good thing? I guess so. Okay. For me, I grew up with the internal combustion engine and gas stations and gasoline and oil on my hands and dirt under my fingernails. So I'm not really concerned with the problems caused by an internal combustion engine. I also know, as a mechanic who is well-versed in some of the latest technology with the internal combustion engine, they're very, very clean now. Very clean. Obviously, they're not perfect. They're not zero emissions, but they're near zero. And it probably is because of all you people out there who've jumped up and down and said, hey, we're killing the planet. And guess what? You people are right. But the electric car is not a Band-Aid. It's not a tourniquet. It's not a sling. It's not going to fix anything. All right, number three on this list, and this is, here again, I'm just going to broad stroke this. I'm not going to read any of this stuff to you. If you want, you can go to this app or this page all by yourself and read the stupid shit that they wrote here. Number three, it says improved telematics and connectivity. Okay, so yeah. The automobile has now become basically a fucking phone booth, and not the kind that Doctor Who would be traveling around the fucking universe in, you know, jumping from one time to another, which would be cool if we could fucking figure out how to do that. That would be all right by me. But what they're talking about here is improving shit that's in your car that causes you to do things and look at things that aren't good. I know I worked on one of the very first cars that had a screen in it that you could maneuver a controller around and select items on the screen and look at this, that, or the other thing, you know, make a phone call, change a radio station, maybe even set the tire pressures or whatever. And I have never, this was 21 years ago, folks, the first time I saw one. I have never been a fan of anything that helps people take their eyes off the fucking road. Cars have gotten safer. They kill people less often, but yet traffic fatalities rise. It's because people are still too fucking dumb to look where they're fucking going. What the fuck? To me, all that shit should shut off when the car's moving. That's just my opinion. Improve telematics and connectivity. It's like, look, yeah, it'd be great if you could connect to the music in your phone. But other than that, I think your phone should be worthless in the car when it's moving. You should not be able to look at it. There should be nothing to see when you look at it. And you should get used to not fucking looking at the fucking thing. All right, number four here. I ain't going on that all day. Sorry about that. Number four, and it says here, and this is what it says, to dearth of techs. Okay? And you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm going to look this up right now. I think I know what that word means. But I just want to make sure I'm correct here. Dearth. Meaning, yep, an inadequate supply, scarcity, lack. You know, they really could have written that. They could have written anything. It says dearth of techs. It could have said lack of techs, tech shortage, anything. But they used the term dearth. There's a dearth of techs. It's like, oh, it's just great. You know, you have a dictionary. Maybe you have a thesaurus. Why don't you figure out how to put a sentence together, you fucking piece of shit? Number five. Here we are again, connectivity services. Okay. I guess that's different than connectivity. There's a lot of different services available in the cars now. Sure. You can have, Android Auto or Apple CarPlay and all this shit that brings all the fucking crazy great shit from your phone into your car. So you can fuck with it there instead of driving the fucking thing. You know what I'm talking about? Shared mobility and characteristic upgrades. Okay. Well, I know what they mean by that stuff. Shared mobility. Sure. We can, I have,
This is funny. I have taken, I've had to work on the loaner cars that we have at our place of business at times. And when our customers get in them to drive off in them, I see this every fucking day. I see it every day. They'll pull out of the building. They'll give them a loaner. They'll go, oh, the keys are in it. You're good to go. We'll have your car ready, you know, later this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. And they drive off in one of our cars. And as soon as they get out of the building and around the corner, they stop and they fucking pair their phone to the car. I understand wanting to be, you know, attached. I understand wanting to be able to be reached at all times by certain people. I personally, you know, my thinking is I'm in the fucking car. Don't call me. And if I'm in the car and you text me, I'm not going to text you back, because guess what? I'm trying to drive the car without driving it into the back of somebody or driving it into a fucking wall or just driving off a fucking cliff. I'm trying not to do all of that shit. So I think I'm going to take a break from fucking texting you. Besides, what are you texting me about that's so fucking important that I have to risk my life to text you back? Oh, my God. What the fuck? And so I'll get into some of these loaner cars, and they will have, I had one car one time, I had 17 phones paired to it. And somebody was trying to, we loaned it to somebody and they were trying to pair their phone to it. And they're like, oh, I can't pair my phone to this car. And I go, that's because nobody's ever fucking deleted all the other 17 fucking phones that are connected to. As soon as I cleared out all of the previous people who borrowed that fucking car, as soon as I cleared their shit out, their shit hooked up. And that's all they cared about. Yeah, okay, cool. I can go now. Great. Thank you very much. And that's why sometimes they come back on a flatbed. Ugh, Jesus Christ. Now, characteristic upgrades, I get that. We have a lot of dumb little features in the car. And I mean, some of them are dumb. We have little lighted strips that go around the dashboard now. And you can change the color of them. You can change the characteristics. Also, to the backgrounds in some of the screens. Maybe the background in your cluster. Yeah, this is all great stuff. You know, if you're trying to achieve a certain automotive feng shui in your car, but I just don't feel like it's necessary, because I mean, I'm an old school guy. I mean, if I look down and there's a gauge there telling me that I have gas and there's another gauge telling me how fast I'm going, I'm pretty much good with that. I don't need a gauge that tells me that I'm getting, you know, 14.2 miles to the gallon and that I've been driving for 16 minutes and I've gone, you know, 6.1 miles. And I don't need all the data. I don't need that. I don't think it's important. I'm not going to climb out of my car and go, well, I got here in 19.75 minutes. You know, it's like, no, who needs that? Does anybody really fucking need that? So one of the seven major auto repair industry trends is that we're going to have connectivity services, shared mobility, and characteristic upgrades. Yeah, that's not a major trend. We've had that shit for a long time. Okay, number six, emerging markets. Well, emerging markets. Yeah, I guess that's a trend. Where in the world do they not have cars? You know, there are a lot of human beings on this planet who get by in their life just fine without an automobile. Holy fucking shit. Are you kidding me? Really? Yeah. And I applaud those people, because that means they're not on the fucking highways blocking me off in the fucking left lane going 55 miles an hour when the left lane is for fucking passing. God damn it. Knock that shit off, okay? Emerging markets. There really aren't any emerging markets. There are shifting markets. Yes, shifting, because you got kids coming up now and they don't want to drive the same shit that their parents did. They don't want to drive the same shit that their grandparents did. That's why some of the brands that have disappeared in the last 20 and 30 years had to disappear, because their grandparents drove them. Nobody wants to drive anything that old people drive. Are you kidding me? You know what the cruel reality, though, is of being young and doing things that young people do, is that someday you're going to be old. Hopefully you make the ripe old age of whatever it is you don't like. And guess what? When you get there, you're going to despise all the fucking shit that the kids that are way, way, way fucking younger than you are doing. You're going to despise all of that shit, because that's why they like it. That's why they like it. You're gonna come home from work, and your kid's gonna have some new car in the driveway, and you're like, "What the fuck's up with that piece of shit?" Oh, Dad, that's my new car. Oh, What a pile of crap. It's just going to make them love it more. Emerging markets. There aren't any. They're just changing. They're shifting. And the emerging markets out there are just young people. So right now, as we speak, the market for new cars in the next 20 to 25 years is going to be people who are emerging from their parents, who are emerging from their mothers. They're going to be the movers and shakers. The young people are always the movers and shakers because, quite frankly, when they wake up the next day after being a mover or a shaker, they're not sore from moving and shaking like some of us older people are. So there's it's not emergency. It's not emerging markets. I'm sorry. It's the not emerging. They're just shifting and changing. That's all. And someday, maybe we get to a point where there is no more market. But that's not going to be an emerging market. That's going to be a disappearing market. Emerging markets. It's just ridiculous. And the last one here is number 7. Game-changing disorder. I got to read this one real quick here. Just bear with me while I do this. Most auto industry professionals approve the automotive industry is faced with a looming, widespread game-changing disorder. I'm sorry. It's just another, this whole thing was just full of just, it's gibberish, folks. It's gibberish. What they're trying to say is that there may be something coming down the pike that is going to change everything. But guess what? No. Hasn't happened. Not going to happen. The automotive industry has changed a lot over the last 20 years, and I've talked to you guys about that many, many times. Okay, I've said, you know, when I first got started, we didn't have turbos, we didn't have superchargers, we didn't have electric cars, we had naturally aspirated stuff, we didn't have even a fucking quarter of the fucking serious bullshit that you guys have now in your iDrives and your control displays and shit that shows up on the windshield and all this other shit. We didn't have any of that shit. But we didn't get there overnight. There was no game-changing disorder, which still doesn't make any sense to me. The automobile industry is going to change. It has to change. It is going to continue to change. It has always changed in the past. It is going to continue to change in the future. That's it. End of sentence. Is it going to be a disorder? No, it's not going to be a disorder because there are very smart people out there putting together how a car should be, what the options in it should be, how they should work, how people should interface with them, what the fucking thing should look like, how the fucking thing should go, how fast it should go, how fast it should stop, what it's going to run on even. Okay, all that shit's going to change. But it's not all going to change at one fucking time and become such a major catastrophe of a change that we're all going to be like, holy fuck, none of us can work on it anymore. It's all over for us. Ah, the apocalypse is here. Automobiles are part of Skynet and they just do whatever they do and they don't even give a fuck if we get to work or if we get to the store, if the kids get to soccer. They don't give a fuck. All they care about is just driving around the planet and being better than us as machines. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. I mean, they made some machines that had artificial intelligence, and they started to take some shit over, and they reached over and unplugged them. Fuck that. Listen, I tore that all up, and I thought, okay, I'm never going to find anything as stupid as that. But then you know what I found? This one is by Shop Boss, and it says, 6 emerging trends that are changing the auto repair game. Number 1, the rise of ride shares. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Sure, there's Uber and Lyft and all that shit. But I got to tell you, I don't care if I would have to walk 20 miles. I'm not taking any of that fucking shit. I am not getting in some fucking guy's car or some girl's car. And there's lots of reasons for that. Number 1, I grew up my whole fucking life. My parents and everyone around me, the police and fucking other people who know things that I don't know, they said, don't accept rides from strangers. Well, why would I go online or go on my phone and ask a stranger to come and pick me up? I'm not getting in the fucking car with you. I'm not going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to pay some fucking jamoke who has a car and says he knows how to drive and have him take me somewhere. I'm not going to do that. Number 1, that guy could be anything from a serial killer to an arsonist, be anything wrong with that guy. And I wouldn't fucking know. And by being in his car, I might somehow be implicated in whatever the fuck that guy does. So am I going to make an appointment on an app and then send them money on a credit card or from Venmo or something to have them come pick me up and take me somewhere on the chances that they're a good person? No. And then on top of that, am I going to go with somebody in their fucking car and then when they hit the brakes and it fucking shakes like a dog shitting razor blades because they need brakes, but they're too fucking cheap to get the brakes done? then it makes me wonder what the fuck else on their car they're ignoring, or whatever else is wrong that you're just not paying any attention to. It's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to call up and get some guy who could be a fucking serial killer who's going to come over in one of the worst maintained vehicles I've ever seen in my life and drive me somewhere. Not going to fucking do it. So the rise of ride shares, that shit should be over. And honestly, when we had taxis, okay, they used to regulate taxis and they used to regulate taxi drivers. Now, all of a sudden, that's not necessary. No, that's more necessary now than it ever was before. Number two, it says here an industry trend is that there's less DIY. Yeah, well, I got to say, I agree with that. And that's a good thing because I haven't really met somebody who wasn't a mechanic who could fix a car in a long, long, long fucking time. I have had friends in the past who will talk a really good game that, oh, I've done this and I've done that. I know how this works. I know how that works. And then when it comes to working on their shit, they're all fucking thumbs. They don't have any idea what the business end of a hammer does. They don't have any idea which end of a wrench goes where. They don't know how, they don't know fucking lefty loosey from righty fucking tighty. They don't know. And so if less people are working on their car, that's a good fucking thing. Because they didn't know what the fuck they were doing in the first fucking place. And you know what? And this is, if we have less DIY, one of the things it does, and this is for you gentlemen and ladies too, out there who might be thinking about quitting your job as a technician and maybe opening your own shop. Guess what? That's good for you. If more and more people can't fix their shit, they're going to need you to do it for them. That is if you can do it. And I would like to think that if you're listening to this and you refer to yourself as a technician and you go to work and you have tools there and you take cars that are fucked up and you unfuck them and you give them back to the people and they give you some money for it, I would like to say, hey, you're probably pretty good at what you do. You should definitely strike out on your own and do it. It's a tough road to hoe. But let me tell you what, the success that you'll enjoy in the future, if you do the job right, you do a good job and you have good people working for you, man, the results are ridiculous. It's very fruitful. It's a fruitful existence. Trust me. I know people who've done it. Number three, digitization and advancing technology. Yes, this is a trend. I wish it wasn't. God damn it. I mean, it's a fucking car. You know what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to take, this is the original, honest to God, OG reason for having an automobile. Number one, it had to take you from point A to point B quickly. Okay, great. Number two, it had to do it faster than a horse could. Number three, it had to leave less shit in the middle of the fucking road than a horse did. Well, okay, it doesn't leave shit in the road, but does leave shit in the air. So we got a little work to do there, okay? But hey, you know what? We're fucking doing it. Really, as technicians, we're fucking doing that work. If we get a car, somebody brings this car and says, oh, it has a check engine light. Let me tell you something. There aren't 15 fucking people in the United States of America who aren't technicians who know why a check engine light comes on. You and I know that if a check engine light comes on, it means it's because your car is making too much pollution. And that is it. It doesn't give a fuck if the airbags work. It doesn't give a fuck if the seats don't move. It doesn't care if your tires are bald or if your brakes are bad. The check engine light is strictly 100% to keep the vehicle running efficiently and creating as little pollution as possible for the year it was made. And that's important to know too, because industry standards have said that cars need to be cleaner. So a check engine light in a 2024 car is going to come on a hell of a lot sooner than a check engine light for a car made in 2001, because the standards, the emissions control standards in 2001 were a little more lax than they are now. So you're going to see, and this is only going to get worse in the future, boys and girls, when some of these emissions control standards get even stricter. You're going to see check engine lights on for shit that you didn't think that could even set a check engine light. Right now in the brand that I'm working for, we have check engine lights that come on because the radiator flaps in front of the radiator don't open when they're supposed to, or they don't close when they're supposed to, or they just plain don't fucking work at all, which is usually the case. And this has an effect on emissions, on how much pollution that fucking car is making. So, bang, you're going to get a check engine light. And God forbid, really, honestly, this is the part that drives me wild, is that we should have, I don't know, maybe we should have different colored check engine lights, or or like a clock almost that says, oh, you know, this is a different check engine light than the one that was on before. Some kind of indicator that just says, hey, I'm a check engine light, but I'm not the same fucking thing you had last time, asshole. Because we'll get that. You know, I get a car in and they'll be like, oh, you know, it's for, you know, the radiator flaps like I was just talking about. And you fix the radiator flaps, you put the fucking thing all back together, you clear the faults, you drive it, it's good to go, you give it back to the customer. A week later, his check engine light comes back on again. He pulls in and you know what they say every fucking time, by the way? Oh, my check engine light's on again. Like it's my fault your check engine light's on. And you know what I find a lot? Yeah, it's the same thing you guys find a lot. That the fucking jackass who fucking owns the car didn't tighten up the gas cap correctly. Or maybe he got the little tether stuck in it. Or maybe it's just fucked up. Or maybe he's got a mouse that chewed a hole in his fucking goddamn tank vent line. Oh, Jesus. Oh, but it's on again. It's on again. It has to be the same thing. No, sorry, Charlie. Anyway, sorry, diatribe number two. There's just stuff. It's never going to get fixed, ever. That's one of them. Oh, the check engine light's on for the same thing every fucking time. I even had one lady, just a fucking dumb bitch, who goes, oh, every time I start my car, my check engine light comes on. And does it go off? Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do, you retard. It's like, what the fuck? And then they're just now noticing it, too. That's what's... number four, it says here, new vehicle leases are becoming more popular. Yeah, who can really afford a car payment anymore? I mean, really, you know, you get a car and it's 50, 60, 70 grand, which is, when I was younger, was the price of a house, by the way. And so, if you were to buy this fucking thing, your payment's going to be like $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 a month. It's like... who the fuck wants to pay that much for a car and then pay that same amount the next month and then a month after that? I don't want to do that. For $1,500, I could buy a car and own the whole fucking thing without having to make any payments. And guess what? As a mechanic myself and you guys as mechanics, we'll do that all day long. And that's, you know what I got to tell you? It's secret time. Let me just fill you in here. If you're a mechanic and you're listening to the sound of my voice, this is the one thing that is the greatest asset for being a mechanic is that you can buy a car that has a fucked up engine or a fucked up tranny, or maybe you're a collision guy and it has a fucked up fender or the hood's bent, damaged, or the hatch is bad, anything. And you can fix it cheaply and drive the fucking thing for anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 years for a tenth of the price that the fucking guy who bought it brand new bought it for. We're not going to suffer with a fucking $1,500 a month fucking car payment. Not unless we want to. I mean, we need a car just like everybody else does, okay? We do. I need a car just like everybody else does. And if I want a new one and I see the cost of them, I'm just like, fuck that. I'm not going to buy that. Not when it's going to depreciate fucking half of its fucking MSRP in the first 2 years I own it. It's just ridiculous. I'll find one where the guy didn't take care of it and blew the motor up, and I'll put a new engine in it, and I'll have basically the same thing for a quarter of the fucking price. That's the one great thing about being a mechanic. You don't have to fucking pay these outrageous amounts of money to have a car and to keep it going. You just don't do it. You know, I would never buy a part from my own dealer. Even though they give me a break on it, still too fucking much. I'll buy it online. Fuck that. Okay. Anyway, yeah, well, it says here new vehicles / leases are becoming more popular. Sure. They sell between 15 and 20 million brand new cars every year. Thank you, God, because I get to fix them. And that's how I make money, right? Okay, but guess what? I'm not going to be one of the ones buying them unless they're going to give me a smoking deal. Number five is green text needed. I'm going to go off on this one here. It says green text needed. Most of us are full of shit, so we're brown. I'm not green. I'm kind of a real pale white. And shit. What they're talking about here is that they need new people. And here's something that they put in here. That is just wrong. It is wrong. And this was actually on the other website, but I didn't really pick it out and point it out to you. But one of the things they said was that the industry needs new technicians. And they're right. They need new technicians. And the industry also needs to realize that if a kid walks in off the street, or a guy, or a girl even, for that matter. And they go and they interview with you to come work in your shop, whether you're a dealership or whether you're a private independent shop, and you decide to hire them. They don't, let me spell this out for you in plain English. They don't get to just be a technician automatically. You hired them as a technician, but are they really a technician? You don't even know. If you're the manager or the shop owner and you didn't have them talk to one of the mechanics that you have in your shop about what they know and what they don't know, and then you hire them and suddenly now you have a new technician. No, you really don't. You have a new guy. Yes, you have a new service person. Maybe you have a new mechanic, but you don't have a technician. There's things you have to know to be a technician. There's things that you have to know. Some of the fucking people that we hire don't know any of the things that they need to know to be a technician. And as long as they bring a good attitude with them, we can certainly turn them into technicians. But you don't get to be a technician just because somebody says, hey, you're hired. Boom, you're a technician now. It doesn't work that fucking way, okay? You don't have a magic wand that you can either anoint them with or stick it up their ass and have it fill them up with all the knowledge you're going to need to do the fucking job. Right? Am I right? Yes, you need new technicians. You need to get them from technical schools. You need to get them with a base knowledge, like a computer that just has a basic program in it so it'll run and do certain things, you know, so you can play Tetris with it, you know, so you can play solitaire on it. The rest of the stuff is up to you to fill it up. It's up to you. And if you don't have a plan, and I'll tell you what, I have never, not once ever worked anywhere where they had any kind of fucking plan to train the new guys. They just bring them out to the edge of the pool and they say, hi, this is the deep end of the pool, and push them in. They stick them with a seasoned technician who is, oh, by the way, wait for it, he's paid flat rate. So is he interested in training this new guy? Fuck no, he's not. Stop fucking doing that. Stop doing that. Stop hiring people, calling them technicians, and then sticking them with some guy who's doing the job to earn money to pay for the things that he and his family needs. And now all of a sudden, he's got to stop every 10 minutes and tell this guy how to do what the fuck you want him to do. And you're not giving that guy anything extra. You're not subsidizing his pay. You're not doing anything like that. Stop fucking doing that. It also says here, a new injection, like we're molded, a new injection of auto techs is needed. Millions of auto techs are expected to retire in the coming years. There aren't millions of auto technicians out there. Okay, there's not millions of us. One of the last things that I read said that there were about 700,000 technicians in the United States. That's about 300,000 short of a million. And they're not all going to retire in the coming years. So that statement is based on nothing. It's based on some kind of expectation that there's millions of us out there. They're not. Oh, I would imagine that there's probably millions of people who used to be automotive technicians, but got tired of not getting paid, got tired of getting fucked over, got tired of being treated like shit, and got out and got a regular job. Okay, got out and got a job where they treat you with respect and they pay you a more livable wage, and they don't treat you like a piece of shit and try to keep you in the back. Okay, number six, and this is the last one on here. I don't know why they didn't stop at 5 or go to 10 or even go to 7, but number six, expected industry growth / rebound. You know, if you want to write an article that is just based on mumbo jumbo, that's what you would do, is put a lot of slashes in it. You could have this or / that. You know, it's just, you're not saying anything really solid or really substantial. The automotive industry is cruising along right now, competing with itself. And the things that they have to keep them competitive are their quality control, their design, and the options that they have, okay? And the options, a lot of the options they have are made to cater to the young people who just want to use the car as a fucking phone booth or as a laptop or whatever. That's fine. It's fine. They're going to do that. I mean, I might not like it, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do, right? Industry growth is driven by the industry itself. What happens to their cars after they get out of the factory? See, if you ever watch any of these videos where they build cars, one of the things that you'll see is that they pay a lot of attention to the quality control of those vehicles. And I can attest to that. I've done a lot of pre-delivery inspections on cars for my brand. They're usually dead nuts on, solid, perfect, nothing wrong. I did have one
not too long ago, it was about 3-4 months ago, where a piece of a small, tiny, I mean, like a sliver of rubber got into where an O-ring was and caused that particular O-ring to leak. It was a transmission cooler line, and the car leaked transmission fluid. The car's brand spanking new, and it took it all apart and replaced that part, and then the course of replacing that part, because I really wasn't able to detect the leak until I took it apart. I found it was about maybe 6 millimeters long, and probably the diameter was less than a millimeter, but it had gotten underneath the O-ring and caused it to leak. But this was an anomaly. This is not something that happens to that to these cars at all. It was just an anomaly. And they were not really, they were like, oh, are you sure that's what happened? Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened. I know that it does not happen at all. It was a very one in a million thing, because the quality control at the factory where they build the cars that I service and work on is second to none. It is second to none. And they know that that's what people are buying. That's why people buy the cars from the brand that I work for, because the quality is there. They also have an amazing array of technological advances to them. And also, too, that brand speaks to a certain social status. It says to people, hey, this guy's doing all right if he can afford me, right? Okay, because people who can't afford cars or don't give a fuck about them at all and just treat them as appliances, they're really not going to buy the kind of cars that I work on, because they're rather expensive, and they're considered luxury vehicles. Whereas somebody who isn't into cars at all probably doesn't covet these cars at all and drives a Hyundai or a fucking Kia, some shit like that, you know? Ugh. All right. Anyway, yeah, so the industry is going to grow. It will rebound, because there's more and more people every day. There's more and more drivers every day. There's more and more roads being built every day. How these things get from point A to point B, whether it's electric, gas, or hydrogen, or whatever else comes along here, they don't care. They just, all they know is that they got to go to work, and they want to go to the store, and they want to go to the movies, and they want to go shopping, and they want to go here, they want to go there. They're going to want to do all of that. And we as technicians, I want to just circle around back to this and get back to the beginning of the podcast and tell you, people need to be mobile. And when they're not, it upsets their lives immensely, to the point where it'll make them cry, quite frankly, okay? You're the guys who put them back together and fix them up and maintain them for those people. You got to remember, these people are counting on their shit. That means they're counting on you to keep their shit going, because the average age of the car has gone up. Maybe some people don't have the money to buy a new car every year. Maybe they don't have enough money to buy a car every 4 years or 5 years. Maybe they're going to hang on to that car for 12, 15 years, 20 years. They're going to need to count on you more and more and more as that vehicle gets older. And the industry is really not going to grow based on that person's need, not based on that person's personal transportation needs. But there's going to be three more people behind them that are going to need new cars, newer cars, better cars, cars that do more. And that's why they need us. And that's why they need to stop forgetting about us. Don't tell us to get back. Get out of our way. We're the ones who are going to keep them going. You've heard this before. If you haven't heard this before, you're going to hear it now. A salesman at a car dealer sells the car one fucking time. The service department services that car 5, 6, 7, up to 10 times. The person who sells that person his next car is the service department, not the salesperson. Because I'll tell you what, you could have people pull into a shop with a car. They've been there 3, 4, 5 times, getting the car serviced, maybe just maintained. Maybe they had a repair need, whatever. They deal with a service advisor. They know that advisor. Oh, that's Bill. Bill's my service advisor. Who sold you the car? I don't know. Some fucking guy named Dave. They don't know who Dave is. And Dave doesn't remember them either. The service advisor is expected to remember who that guy is, because he's been there 5 and 6 times over the course of 2, 3, 4 years. Does he know who the mechanic is? No. Should he? Well, you know what? He certainly could. And I think that a lot of you out there, and myself included, like to be anonymous, but I think that those days are going to go away, because when people feel like they know the technician working on their car, even if it's just a voice in a video, or maybe a picture on a TV screen, or maybe a business card for that matter, okay? Just a business card. They feel like you are their mechanic and you are there to take care of them. Let's pick up the mantle and run with it. Let's be the people that they look to take care of their shit. Let's let them look to us to be the people who are going to keep them mobile. That's the key to all of it. They want to get back to being mobile. Nobody wants to be immobile. Nobody wants that. And if they have to pay to be mobile, well, they're going to have to pay. And if they've done serious damage to their car, they may have to pay a lot. I got one right now. My bay is leaking coolant so bad, and there's faults for driving the car overheated. I'm pretty sure it's going to need an engine. I'm going to go in tomorrow morning and crank it up and take a look at it. And I bet it needs an. I'm thinking it needs an engine. I only got a chance to look at it for a few minutes before I had to go today. But I have a feeling that this one is finished. It's finished. And this guy, person who owns this car, is going to want that car to go again. And then when they get the fucking, when they get the estimate, they may change their mind. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Because it's not cheap to fix some of these rides. It'd be cheaper to maintain them and to stop driving them when they start to overheat. But they're not going to do that either. All right, really, that's enough of your Uncle Jimmy here. I just wanted to let you know that there's still a lot of, and I do this on purpose. I don't do it purposely to annoy Eric, the producer. I could do that in other ways. Other ways that are more fun. But what I wanted to let you know is that there's a lot of people out there that are that consider themselves talking heads for the industry that we're in. Okay. They talk about fixed ops and they talk about customer retention and, you know, how many dollars per lift is supposed to make or how many dollars per sale and, you know, how many items you should recommend that they get for their car when they come in. There's all kinds of that shit going on out there. And it's just mumbo jumbo. It doesn't matter. What comes down to is this is the nuts and bolts of it, the roots of it. You are there fixing a car for people who can't fix them themselves. They do not want to be vulnerable, but unfortunately when their ride doesn't work, when their mobility is terminated or severely restricted, they become vulnerable. They don't like that. Nobody likes that. As a mechanic, you should realize that. And as soon as you do, you're going to understand why people think we ripped them off, because they feel like when they're in that position that that's all that's going to happen. They think that the worst is going to happen. And you and I are going to have to go through and say to them, say, listen, I'm not here to rip you off, okay? You're the one who drove your car, overheated it massively, and now you need a new engine for it. I didn't drive it. It's your car. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but there wouldn't be bad news here if you would have just stopped, shut it off, and had it towed to us before all the carnage happened. Always remember that. You're going to have empathy for your customers because, you know, your boss, your manager, your shop owner, and your service advisors and everybody else involved, they're not going to care. They're not going to care. The guy brings a car and he says, hey, it doesn't run right. And you go and you look at it and you say, yeah, it needs an engine. They're just going to go to the guy. They're going to call him up and say, yeah, Mr. Jones, you need an engine. Do they care? Well, probably not. Do I care? Actually, I do. A lot more than you might think. Okay, because Mr. Jones uses that car to go back and forth to work to earn money to keep his family in, you know, Cheerios and Eggo waffles and maybe frozen dinners and keep the cable on and pay for the heat and maybe little Billy's piano lessons or whatever. And if he doesn't have that, if he has to spend that money in a car, guess what? His son never becomes the musician he's supposed to. The family starves. Maybe he didn't know better. And he kept driving it when it was overheating. Do you love that? The way I put a whole narrative behind the fact that I've got a car that's probably going to need an engine because it overheated. Well, that's something that you need to do too. You don't need to go to the nth degree like I just did. But there's a person who owns that car and doesn't want to have to put an engine in it. But what he did caused the engine to fail. All you can do is offer to put it back together again for him. And maybe, just maybe, he might feel a little bad about the situation he's in. But hey, I'm here to help. I fix him. That's what I do. I'm not the one who wrecks them. All right, that's enough. Listen, get back to what you do. What you do is you fix them. Let everybody else fucking toss fucking poorly written websites at each other and different fixed ops data. And let's remember where the grassroots is. It's right there in the bay where we are with the tools and lifts, okay? So get back, JoJo, all right? Hey, it's your Uncle Jimmy. Listen, keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing. Everybody's doing a fine job out there. Let's just keep up the good work, all right? That's enough of me. See ya.